Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
Hey, good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and welcome to Texas Outdoor News. You know, we're brought to you by your Ford trucks, your Ford dealers, the best in Texas Ford dealers, wonderful folks. And today we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state, as well as the nation, along with the best for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. Welcome to the national holiday of Texas. This is Bill Olson, and yes, hunting seasons abound.
In the Hill Country, it's like 5 o'clock traffic in Houston. I mean, it's amazing.
I tell you what, end of the week, you know, every advance, the few days before the beginning of hunting season, you see trailers, you see ATVs, stands, going, you're just now taking your stands and feeders out?
Okay.
Oh, plus duck season has opened, except for dusky ducks, which are model ducks. But a lot going on. And this weekend, we wrap up our four-week waltz across Texas as we visit with all eight Texas Parks and Wildlife district leaders. Today, we're going to be visiting with David Veal, district leader out of Pleasanton for the Brush Country.
Okay.
And then we're going to slide northeast up to Tyler, where John Slavosky is our district leader, and talk about everything from waterfowl, deer, hogs, bear.
Interesting what's going on. I mean,
it really is. It really is. Plus a whole lot more. Plus we've got some news headed your way, so you all stick around. And remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors. This is Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn, inviting you to join me and some friends for the Automotive Reporter. For over 13 years, the country's most informative auto show. An hour of news, interviews, product reviews, and motorsports. We'll be testing the newest cars and trucks, bringing you major guests from the automotive industry. Visit AutomotiveReporter.com for a list of our stations. Play the latest programs and more. While there, download the free Stitcher Smart Radio app and listen to us anywhere, anytime on your computer or smartphone. That's AutomotiveReporter.com.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson, Harold Gunn, we do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans.
Indeed we do.
And I tell you what, while we are celebrating hunting seasons in Texas, many are starting to celebrate that the election will be over Tuesday. Yes.
Our country is in a very bad mood, and we have been beaten to death on nonstop election stuff now, as far as I'm concerned, the last 8 years. It hasn't stopped.
And unless there's a change, it's not going to stop. And with that being said, if you have not voted, please get out and vote. If you are undecided, please look at a couple of websites. ChristianVoterGuide.com has a good comparison between Clinton and Donald Trump. You can go to gunvote.com, the National Shooting Sports Foundation, protectors of the Second Amendment, and many other aspects of the shooting sports.
All right.
It's just absolutely amazing.
And if you can, especially since it's such a mess with this voter ID and stuff, vote often.
Let me tell you,
I'm sorry, I just tried to lighten the moment a little bit.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Because I put in for a vote by mail.
Right.
It didn't show up until 8 days later.
Oh, really?
I got concerned, and then I started thinking, do I really want to entrust my vote by mail to the Postal Service?
Yeah, that's a thought.
Okay, and I didn't. So I go in and vote. When I got in and showed my ID, they go, oh, you've requested a ballot by mail. I go, yes, I have, but it hasn't shown up. Well, you have to come over here and fill out these papers to disavow, you know. And anyway, it was cumbersome. It was not timely, and I'm really disappointed with Harris County,
okay,
with what went down.
Okay.
But looking at the election, just a few things for you all to consider. Andy Borowitz, the humorist, he creator of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and you know, writes for a number of folks, made a great point. And for you, never Trump folks, those that said, I'm not going to vote for that so-and-so, consider this. Stopping Hillary is a short-term solution, and that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
Short-term solution. The long-term solution, and it will be more difficult, is fixing the educational system that has created so many people ignorant enough to vote for Hillary. And you know what? There's a lot of truth in that with the educational system.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't look, okay, what he may said have said compared to what she did and what's coming out in WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Not Wikipedia, Sheila Jackson Lee.
Oh.
WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And the investigation, the Clinton Foundation, pay for play.
Yeah.
Folks.
And I wish that was investigated more because I'm going, okay, Clinton Foundation, but where's the money go? Who makes what? You know, what's the family get out of that? And so on. I mean, because that thing, when you're all of a sudden you're looking
for $50 million four FBI agents, agencies. Our offices are investigating that right now.
Yeah.
And it will come out. But if Hillary's elected, we could very easily have a sitting president that was elected while under investigation.
Right.
And then impeached.
Yeah.
You know, and then we have Tim Kaine.
Who?
Yeah. Huh? folks, you got to get out and vote. And particularly those, if you've got friends or family in quote-unquote battleground states.
Right.
Texas is too close. I can't believe that we're in the, you know, margin where it was even in play. But get out and vote.
And there are probably some like me, too, that you get caught up in like what you're looking at. You see, because I did my early voting, and I voted for Devin Anderson for DA because I think she's real cute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just how I go.
Hmm.
Sorry, Bill. I just again was trying to lighten the moment up.
Well, here's some facts for you all to consider of what we're up against. Is government is not listening. I listen to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to CNN, MSNBC. I want to know what the other folks, I want to know what people are saying.
Yeah, how they're saying it.
Right, and how they're saying it. And I thought it was interesting. CNN was making a point, or maybe it was MSNBC, saying that they surveyed government workers, you know, in Washington, D.C.,
right.
And one in four said, we're going to quit if Donald Trump is elected. I'm going, wow, immediately, a reduction in government.
That's right, money savings right there. You betcha. Well, and it's a thing, too, and again, the media, and I've been part of it, you know, all my life, man. But looking at, you know, the way things are trending with the early voting and all this kind of stuff, and I go, wait a minute, now where are you getting these figures? Because they're not counting the votes yet, guys. You know, it's their exit polls that's saying this is what's happening. And that's a total crock.
Here's a poll from Gallup for those of us that like the modern sporting firearm. And I love that weapon, the assault weapon, based on an AR platform.
Well, it's not an assault weapon, though.
Well, okay. All right. I mean, you're right. That's so-called assault weapon,
correct.
But a new Gallup poll shows that support for a ban on so-called assault weapons just hit a record low of 36%.
Mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
With a clear majority, 61% of Americans opposing an outright ban, yet Hillary Clinton continues to push for a return to the discredited assault weapons ban of her husband's presidency.
Yeah, and let me throw this out, folks, too, because it's a matter of, like, magazine clip, blah, blah, blah. It's the uses of words, but the press has demonized the AR-15 platform. As right. you as I know, it's the most versatile platform on the planet to right. do stuff. You can, you know, you can pin it on, slap it on, stick it on, bolt it on, all kinds of good stuff there. And the ammunition is so much more improved for hunting purposes and so on. But what it is based on was called an assault weapon. See, what's missing from the ones we hunt with is the select fire switch.
Exactly.
An assault weapon is fully automatic. It's a rifle cartridge firing select fire weapon. But they keep using that term. You know, they'll take the Deadly Tech 9, which is one of the biggest pieces of crap ever made on the planet, but it looks bad, and call it a deadly assault weapon. Well, it's not. It's actually a crappy automatic pistol. So, you know, kind of pay attention, friends, and educate yourself on the terms.
Paying attention, opening yep. weekend in Texas.
Yes.
Safety, safety, safety.
Oh, yes.
Okay? Be sure of your target, folks. For those that are going to be hunting up, particularly in tree stands or, uh-huh. you know, if you use a climbing stand in East Texas
right.
or a leaning stand somewhere else, safety belt.
Yes.
Bow hunters use it. Rifle hunters, you use it too.
And safely how you get your weapon up to that level,
without
too.
Question.
Because we've had some people tragically killed themselves.
Without question. Just unload, safety. There isn't any critter, I don't care how big, out there worth a mistake being made. Okay?
Correct.
And bird hunters, quail season.
Oh.
Okay. We're going to wrap up dove season. We'll talk yeah. about that later on.
Watch that swing.
Without question. Safe zones of fire. Always duck and goose hunting,
uh-huh.
okay? I mean, so one final thing before we go to break. Salute to our veterans from Texas Parks and Wildlife, Sunday, November 13th, next weekend. Free entrance to Texas State Parks in honor of Veterans Day. And I think that's pretty cool. It's going to be waived for all visitors at our state parks. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out if Harold's been on or off the road, plus the outdoor report. It's headed your way.
America's best-selling truck, 39 years running, is Ford. These people work hard every day to build the best trucks, trucks you need, trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 39 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they will build them today, and most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 39 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
Love. At Shriners Hospitals for Children, love provides care to those in need. It fuels the desire to discover medical breakthroughs. Love motivates our compassionate staff, our renowned medical physicians, and volunteers who are all dedicated to caring for children. At Shriners Hospitals for Children, love comes to the rescue every day as we work to restore the joys of childhood. To offer your love and support to children in need, call 1-800-241-GIFT.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News. Before we get to your on or off the road, did you happen to watch the CMAs this week?
No.
Amazing.
I heard.
They were amazing.
I heard I missed another good one.
It was a lot of fun. And the skits that Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood did,
mm-hmm. oh, cool.
very funny.
I'm really impressed with Paisley in many ways.
Yeah.
You know, as far as a musician.
I didn't realize that this is 9 years that they have yeah. co-hosted that event.
Great personality, good singer, fun stuff, yeah. and boy, can he pick.
Yeah, and if you like old-time country music,
yeah.
with this being the 50th anniversary, big-time salute to entertainers. And I think the highlight was when everybody was up that had performed
mm-hmm.
A tribute, and there stood Randy Travis.
Yeah.
And they were doing the Forever and Ever Amen
right.
that he made so popular.
Fabulous song.
And toward the end, they introduced him as the latest inductee to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
How good.
And he gave the Amen.
Wonderful.
You know,
how did Randy look? You know, he's had some issues.
Yeah, I mean, you know, stroke and everything else. Right. I expected to live, but he was there, and boy, I don't think there was a dry eye in the crowd.
Good.
And you know, it certainly brought a tear to those watching.
Well, speaking of awards, before I get to the vehicle, I want to bring this up, too, because I could not make it, you know, issues, which you understand what I'm going through right now. But the Texas Radio Hall of Fame this past weekend in Fort Worth, where the first ceremony was, they held it. And I want to do a congratulations to all of the inductees this year, but particularly three friends of mine. Wash Allen from Houston. Well, these are all from Houston. The lovely and talented Donna McKenzie and my dear friend Dave Ward. They all three were inducted this year.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Ward started, a lot of people don't realize, I mean, they know him for, as the news anchor.
Yeah, but Radio Tyler.
ABC. Yeah. But the KNUZ.
I first met Dave at KNUZ. You bet.
The old 12:30 a.m.
Yeah, absolutely. You betcha. Wardo's one of a kind, man. Anyhow, vehicle. I want to say they didn't build it for me, but it's one of the coolest things I've driven in a long time, and that is the 2017 Chrysler Pacifica Limited Van. This thing has won every award you can get, you know, like Family Car of the Year for this bunch and Van of the Year and blah, blah, blah. It is like driving a warehouse. This thing is unbelievably roomy, but what they've done to it, I mean, the luxury abounds. The capability is amazing. It's a front-wheel drive V6, 3.6-liter V6, but 267 horsepower. And this thing really runs great. Great acceleration, great on the highway, solid as a rock at 95. But, of course, that was a closed-course testing. You know, I am a professional test driver. Standard equipment on this thing, advanced multi-stage front airbags, driver inflatable knee bolsters, same thing for the passengers, and this is just part and parcel of this stuff. Park view rear backup camera, blind spot and cross path detection, park sense, rear park assist with stop, electronic stability control, security alarm, Sentry key, remote start system, hill start assist, capless fuel filter, active grille shutters, which help with the aerodynamics, tire inflator kit. They don't have a spare on this thing, which is kind of interesting. Hands-free sliding doors and lift gate. You can sit in the thing and push buttons into music and impress your friends, opening the doors on both sides and opening the tailgate and all this kind of stuff. It's just really, really cool. Inside, stow and vac integrated vacuum system, active noise control, second and third row stow and go seats, push a button, blam, talk about room. Eight-way power driver and passenger seat with lumbar. Like I say, push button folding down third row, ventilated front seats, heated second row seats, heated steering wheel, driver's seat and passenger stow and go, their Uconnect system, 506 watt amplifier, great sound system, park sense front and rear, park assist with stop, 360 degree surround view camera system, parallel and perpendicular park assist with stop, adaptive cruise control with stop and go. Full-speed forward collision warning, lane warning system plus. Plus means it holds you in the lane. Don't be a dummy and think it's going to drive for you, but it's kind of fun to take your hands off the wheel and it keeps you between the lines, but control it. Automatic high beam, headlamp control, advanced brake assist, seat back video screens with Blu-ray. This thing is just cool. 220-amp alternator on it, 115-volt auxiliary power outlet. You can haul your tools. This thing loaded to the gills is 47, and that really is quite a value. 18 miles per gallon in the city, 28 on the highway, and it's really neat looking. Check this thing out, especially if you've got the, you know, all those kids that are playing soccer. The 2017 Chrysler Pacifica Limited.
You know, I'm not wild about all this technology that takes the control away from the driver or assist.
Yeah.
The reason why, it's kind of like government intervention, mm-hmm. you know, going, well, we'll do for you what you should do for yourself.
I expect them to do it for me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I understand.
It's neat, but you need to control the vehicle.
But you also need to realize the mindset of some people that are out going, oh, well, I got it.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Do it. Do it for me.
I know. Where's my benefits? I want my benefits.
I read people.
Yeah,
not only the vehicle and being very and looking on down the highway and around me using mirrors.
I know.
I read people, and
that guy looks real stupid, doesn't he?
No. But you can kind of look for them to move ahead or something.
Sure.
They're going to do something.
You can feel it.
Yeah,
I know they're going to pull in front of me.
Oh yeah,
I know it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Time for the outdoor report. That's what we're supposed to be talking about.
That's right. This is an outdoor show, isn't it?
Okay. And
we've covered entertainment, vehicles, and politics.
You know, weather's a change and it's been goofy on Calaveras, for example. Black bass fishing's good on chartreuse, rattle traps, spinnerbaits, and crankbaits near the dam. Choke Canyon, black bass are good on chartreuse, soft plastic worms, and lizards fished over grass in water 8 to 15 feet deep. Crop your good on minnows and white tube jigs. Falcon Reservoir, good reports coming there. Black bass, crankbaits, and creeks with catfish, Channeland catfish, very good. Big friendly, Amistad Reservoir. Best bite has been for catfish on cheesebait, shrimp, and night crawlers. And then we go to Lake Allen Henry out west for black bass. Fishing has been good for black buzzbaits at first light and last light. Lots of small fish, but also there's been some activity on schooling bass all day in water 20 to 25 feet, catching those on spoon. Finally, Lake Coleman. Black bass fishing good on chartreuse, spinnerbaits, crankbaits, and soft plastics.
Heading east, Lake Conroe. Crappie are good on minnows and pink tube jigs. Lake Fork, white and yellow bass are good on minnows. Crappie are good on minnows. Lake of the Pines, crappie are also good on minnows there. Monticello, crappie are good on minnows and jigs. Lake Sam Rayburn, black bass are good on chartreuse topwater, soft plastic worms, and crankbaits early. Crappie are good on live minnows. Catfish are good on shrimp and stinky bait. Toledo Bend, black bass are good on redbug soft plastic worms and on chartreuse rattle traps and spinnerbaits off points. Channeland bluecast are good on stinkbait and night crawlers. Athens, crappie are good on minnows and jigs. Catfish are good on prepared bait. Bass Drop, black bass are very good on chartreuse spinnerbaits, crankbaits, and rattle traps. Belton, black bass are good on spinnerbaits and soft plastic worms. Crappie are good on minnows in 20 feet of water. Channel cats and bluecats are good on dough bait and shrimp. Fayette, black bass are good on shad pattern pop-ars and rattle traps early. Red ear perch are good on worms in 3 to 10 feet of water. Richland Chambers, black bass are good on swim jigs, spinnerbaits, and topwaters. White bass are good on slabs. Tawakoni, black bass are good on Texas rig craws, flipped in shallow cover and docks. White bass are good on slabs. Hybrid bass are good on slabs also. Crappie are good on minnows, Texoma. Black bass are good on topwaters, soft plastic jerkbaits and hard jerkbaits. Crappie are good on minnows. Striped bass are good on slabs and topwaters. Catfish are good on trot lines and prepared bait. Getting to the hill country, Big Lake Buchanan, which looked real good when I saw it earlier in the week. Black bass are good on watermelon spinnerbaits, rattle traps, and crankbaits in 10 to 20 feet of water. Striped bass are good on redfin, Zara spooks, and plastic swim baits near the lighthouse point at daylight. Crappie are good on pink and chartreuse curbs, crappie jigs, and live minnows. And remember what the catfish said when he bumped his head?
What?
Damn. And that's where to catch him at Buchanan. Get up beside the dam, and you're going to reel him in, friends. Anyway, LBJ, black bass are good on white spinnerbaits, swim baits, and watermelon wacky sticks off creek points early. Striped bass are good on little fishies at night. White bass are good on little fishies at night also. Travis, Channel, and Bluecats are good on night crawlers and fresh-cut bait.
Yes. On the coast, yes, we go. And I tell you what, just to kind of update, because we get reports of bird activity and then where are the birds? You know, it's been sporadic because we've not had sustained north winds. Calcasieu, Sabine, Galveston, all the way down to West Matagorda. We've got some weather coming the end of the coming week. Finally, looks like temperatures are going to start to drop off. Water temperatures start to fall some. And look for bird activity to pick up. That's going to be your number one choice on the upper coast. Topwater bite, lots of reports coming in on unfair lures, dog walkers. Captain Trey Pry in East Matagorda fishing over mid-bay reefs. Setting up around the mouths of back lakes on St. Joe Island and behind Mustang Island. Redfish in and around Shamrock Cove. Heading on down to the upper coast toward Baffin Bay. Decent bite, but could be better. We need a little cool weather. Birds, ducks are showing up on the coast. So that blast and cast opportunity is going to get better over the next few weeks. And then on the lower coast from Port Mansfield down to Port Isabel, still fishing sand pockets in grass beds. A little early yet for a move into the Brownsville Ship Channel, but as soon as we get some cool weather, look for a variety of fish, snook, mangrove snapper, trout, redfish, drum, to make a move into the deeper waters of the Ship Channel there.
Okay, here I am. A little tongue-tied there for a moment. Sorry. Checking the Texas Outdoors Journal, Fishing and Hunting Times this weekend. Saturday is rated as fair. This Sunday, as well as Monday and Tuesday, are a trio of good days. Wednesday and Thursday are our two best days of the week. Friday slips to fair. Next Saturday and Sunday are rated as good. This weekend, look for game to be active from mid to late afternoon until the evening hours, well after sunset. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, a major time shift occurs with the game becoming active from well before sunrise, remaining active until mid-morning. Friday as well as next Saturday and Sunday, we'll see game actively feeding from early morning until early afternoon. This Sunday, daylight savings time ends as we fall back 1 hour, and I'm always confused. Then I call Bill and go, what do I do? On Monday, November the 7th, the moon enters its first quarter phase. On the coast, this weekend as well as Monday, has a single tide schedule of one high and one low tide each day. Tuesday has a single low tide as the only tide of the day. Wednesday through next Sunday, or a string of days with a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides each day.
All right, on the hunting scene this weekend, Sunday, November 6th, dove season in the central zone closes. The 9th, the special white-winged dove area closes. The 13th, north zone closes, as does the south zone. Of course, we know whitetail deer season has opened, along with Rio Grande turkey. Great opportunities. Duck season, except for dusky ducks, is now open. Dusky ducks will open up about 5 days later. Those are your model ducks. And let's see, what else we got? Goose season, did that, covered that. Hey, we're going to go to South Texas.
Oh.
And David Veal, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader out of Pleasanton, with his update right after this.
When it comes to rifle scopes, you get the most for your money with the all-new Zeiss Terra. When it comes to buying Zeiss, you get the most for your money at Carter's Country. The Zeiss Terra is the first mid-price rifle scope built to live up to Zeiss standards. All Zeiss Terra scopes feature one-piece construction, hard anodized surfaces, fully multi-coated lenses, and finger-adjustable windage and elevation, plus glass-smooth magnification adjustment with no change in eye relief. Carter's Country carries a wide selection, including the always popular 3-9, the 3-9x50, and the Reach Out and Touch Something 4x12x50 with a big light gathering 50mm objective. All Zeiss Terra scopes carry a lifetime transferable warranty for the absolute best optical value for your money. Look no further than Zeiss Terra and Carter's Country, with four great locations in the greater Houston area. Carter's Country, where your great outdoors begins.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven salooner tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros set Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are just a couple of reasons why Texas Outdoors Journal has been named one of the top outdoor publications in Texas. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save 60% off the cover price. To subscribe using a major credit card, call 1-800-222-4TOJ. That's 1-800-222-4865, or subscribe securely online at texasoutdoorsjournal.com.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and it is our group participation time. Everybody gather around the radio and join Harold and say...
Got old hands, too. Okay, here we go. Hey, Port A!
That's Port Aransas on Mustang Island, surrounded by pristine bays, estuaries, and the deep blue waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Port A is truly the fishing capital of Texas.
And year-round, too.
That's right. Come fish, golf, and play Texas Island style. Year-round is absolutely right. And with the mild weather we're having, with what forecasters are saying, hey, we're going to be playing down there with mild weather all the way into mid-January, as
well. Of course, they are milder year-round.
Yeah.
Right?
There's
the way the
Gulf of Mexico
and all that stuff. Yeah.
Cools or warms, you know, depending on the situation. But trout, redfish, flounder are... Fishing is tremendous and is only going to get better as water temperatures in the Gulf cool down. Go down and get on a headboat or charter an offshore boat.
Mm-hmm.
Go for some blackfin or yellowfin tuna.
Yes.
In-state waters, red snapper. Just great, great time. For more information, visit portaransas.org or give them a call at 1-800-45-COAST. And when you call, be sure and say...
Well, while you're thinking about it, be sure and take the family, too. And then say, hey, Port A. They love it.
They do. They do. All right. From Texas Coastal Bend, we're going to head to the brush country. And Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader David Veal is our first guest, based out of Pleasanton. Hey, David, how are you doing? Welcome back to Texas Outdoor News.
Doing great. Good to talk to you guys again.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Hey, Brush Country hasn't been quite as dry. 2011 is kind of in our rearview mirror, but as we headed into the spring when Buck started growing antlers, what shape were you in?
We were in really good shape, and we've had a good couple of years of rainfall, and as you guys know, that good rainfall in South Texas is going to produce good wildlife habitat.
Don't know that I have seen another part of the state, or certainly in the arid part, which includes the brush country, a more resilient vegetation. The rangelands can change overnight with just a little bit of moisture, can it?
Yeah, we've sure seen it bounce back, and a lot to be excited about. We did have a little bit of dryness in June and July. It does look like that has impacted some of the fawn production numbers and also quail production. But going into the spring, we're in good shape. Antler development should be really, really good this year because they were able to get a good frame set when they were wet in the spring. But we're really looking very strong.
In South Texas, for majority of your district, the peak of the rut typically occurs second or third week in December. With the 2011 low fawn recruitment survival that we had, that age class that is missing virtually, you got some young bucks that are really looking bigger than their age, don't you?
No doubt about that, and just what you said kind of underscores the importance of managing for older age class bucks if trophy deer are your focus. And so we're going to be missing the 5.5-year-old age class this year just because of the lack of production from the drought of 2011. And that 4.5 to 5.5 is when you're generally going to see a really big jump in individual antlers. So that's a big thing to be missing. But the good news is if you're managing for older age class bucks on your ranch, we did have good fawn production in 2010, and so that 6.5-year-old age class should be good, provided you didn't shoot those deer when they were three or four years of age and looking somewhat decent.
Sure. I was down at Choke Canyon State Park looking around and was looking at some deer and literally in places could only see antler tips as they were moving. I mean, there's the vegetation. From a hunting perspective, is the pendulum definitely in favor of the deer, them not having to move as much as far as mesquite beans, fall forbs, mass crop were available this time of year?
For sure, until we get, if we get a freeze, that kind of changes things. But until then, you know, I think everybody's going to be in pretty good shape, not having to move very far to get their daily nutritional requirements.
Ground nesting birds, quail, everybody's pointing. What shape are y'all in?
Well, turkey's good across the board. You know, we're really strong there. Quail, our numbers from some of our surveys is actually a little bit less than we had expected, and part of that may be that there was a really late hatch this year. We're seeing some really small birds this time of year, young birds, so we had a late hatch. Also, there's some suspicion that because of the heavy vegetation cover, we're not seeing birds that we might normally be seeing out there. So, you know, we had a huge bounce back on quail last year, not quite as strong this year, but that may be some sampling bias on.
Yeah, I kind of joke with the district leader, this is Harold, David, about the quail situation, because, you know, you'll have a year where they're not any at all, and then all of a sudden here they come again, and I still have a suspicion that they're like quail seeds in the ground. And it, when the water comes, here come the quail. But it's a fascinating study, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Well, and you know, I remember Robert Perez, our state quail program coordinator, gave a presentation a while back that showed how long it had been since we've had, you know, 2 years in a row of average to above average rainfall in South Texas. And so this is the second year of that. And so we've seen those numbers really bounce back where there's habitat. And so pretty happy to do that. We got out on some public land at Chaparral W. May with my son. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we got to, during the youth adult quail hunt out there, he got to shoot his first wild quail on the wing down there at the Shap, so that was a pretty neat experience.
One thing that you mentioned that we ought to caution hunters, quail hunters, about is if you have a covey and you drop a bird and it's got a bunch of young birds, pull off of it and let them grow for a bit. Would that not be a good suggestion?
It would be definitely a good suggestion.
All right, we've got a late dove season that will open up in December. I guess the hunt this year has been just kind of record, hadn't it?
Yeah, it's been spread out. You know, there's been birds just about everywhere, and I did want to remind everybody that we do have the first split goes through the 9th of November, so we still have a few days. Grab a shotgun with you. Maybe you tag out early on your deer. You still do a little dove hunting. And then we still have 38 days in December and January floating around out there, so still a fair amount of dove opportunity.
Outstanding. Well, I tell you what, looks to be a great season, brush country kicking off, and for you all, it only gets better as we move toward the end of the year. Our first guest today, David Veal from Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader in Pleasanton. David, appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Friends, we've got more coming around the corner, though. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
Texas continues to grow. She never stops. Thanks to the financial support of Capital Farm Credit, neither do the agricultural producers and rural businesses that call her home. But the job is far from over. To keep pace, rural communities will need to grow too. Today and tomorrow, we'll be there, just as we have for 100 years. Learn more at CapitalFarmCredit.com.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted. And the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place, and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike forage oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike forage oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season, and since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plot Spike forage oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre, and that's a lot of deer chow. Plot Spike forage oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at plotspike.com. Pure, premium, proven Plot Spike.
Friends, get on over to Cartridge Country because you need ammunition for these seasons, don't you? And they've got everything you need from Federal for your rifle, your shotgun, and your pistol. Right now, special deals, American Eagle 120-round ammo can of 5.56 on sale, $54.97. Their target grade 22 long rifle ammo, 325-round bricks, we call them, super deal, $18.97 a box load up. And their target pistol ammo, 100-round bulk pack of 9mm, only $27.97. And so that gives you, you know, maybe a little extra change to pick up that carry pistol you wanted. And always, nobody beats their price. The Ruger LCP, that 380 with a laser on it, and it weighs like 8 ounces, only $289.97. And remember, right now, 6 months free financing. So check out the stores for all of those great deals and check their website in advance, carterscountry.com. Carter's Country, 4 locations in the greater Houston area, straight shooting since 1961.
From Texas Parks and Wildlife District Office in Tyler, we're joined by our district leader, John Savosky. John, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing great.
Thank you.
Tell you what, you got a lot to talk about. There's, you know, in your district that runs up to the Red River. Let's start with deer, because that opening weekend is upon us. People are in the field right now. Coming into the hunting season in the spring, when they were bucks were starting to grow antlers, what shape was your district in?
Well, generally speaking, you know, due to, again, you know, ample rain from Mother Nature, you know, the habitat conditions were good, and subsequently then, you know, we fully expect our deer antler growth and everything to be in really good shape, you know, for this hunting season.
And that's not only antler but body weight. How about your fawn recruitment?
You know, from our surveys, anecdotally from landowners and stuff, it's was probably about average for the year, but we may not have been seeing as many fawns just due to the, you know, the heavy vegetation growth too when we were running our surveys and when the landowners were running their surveys. So pretty confident the deer are out there, but and we should be in good shape numbers wise.
We've talked to everybody and brought up 2011 as it starts to fade in our rearview mirror, but still that 5.5 year old age class is missing in some districts. Is that much of an impact in and around your area?
Well, it certainly is. I mean, we're aware of that, you know, but with that, the effects of the drought and then, you know, the implementation of antler restrictions within all of our counties here in the district, you know, so there's a We have lots of things going on that are affecting the age as well as the quality of the deer. And so we continue to see age class of deer, the harvest of the deer in different age classes increase. So the hunters are doing a good job of passing on some of those younger bucks. And so we're moving more of those deer into those more desirable mature age classes, four and a half and on up. And so, yes, we were impacted just like everybody else with missing potentially a large part of that cohort, but we're still in pretty good shape and still seeing a lot of nice deer on the range. So.
John, this Harold and me, it's now at my age, it's always about the meat, but with the population levels up there, you guys also in some counties are doing some additional doe days. What are those?
Yeah, there's a we look at it from an opportunity standpoint. So we had several counties, in the district that had no doe day opportunities, and some that had been at four doe days, basically hunting around that Thanksgiving period. And so we made some alterations. We added doe days into eight counties and increased doe days in, I think, another nine counties, as well as included muzzleloader season opportunities there at the end of the season on all of the counties. So significantly increased hunting opportunity for the public, and as well as to provide us an opportunity to better manage the deer herd over the past several years. Even by the drought as an example, our deer population has continued to gradually increase throughout the district, and so we need to get a little better handle on those deer and kind of get that buck doe or doe buck ratio in a little bit better shape than what it currently is, and that will in turn as well improve that farm recruitment, quality of the deer they see in the field, etc. So,
John, I know that your background and you're a big waterfowl guy with the spring that we had and all the rain. We got to be in great shape in your district for birds that are coming in and hunting back sloughs and parts of rivers that lakes that had been low but now have water. What about the food stock for ducks? And
well, we have relatively good water supply throughout the district.
Right.
But the thing that's somewhat ironic about the really above average rainfall that we had early in the spring and summer, many of the reservoirs, wetlands were full. So we didn't get any re-germination or growth of, good waterfowl food plants at that time. As the summer progressed, especially September, October, we really haven't had much rain, and we're actually behind a little bit on our annual precipitation rates for the region. So the answer, I guess, it depends just where you are in the district, but we're going to have some good plant growth. But we have several reservoirs now that are, 2 feet or more below conservation pool. It kind of just depends on where you're at. But potentially, if we can get those ducks to come out of the Dakotas and Kansas and Oklahoma, cold fronts, et cetera, we should be set up for some good waterfowl hunting. But we're going to have some more timely rains this fall to keep those water levels at the appropriate food resources and give those hunters an opportunity to take advantage of that.
Well, with that kind of an update, would that mean that ducks, even though there's an abundance of water, may move around more to feed?
Yeah, it's going to take some extra effort on the duck hunter to do some scouting. You may see them in one place one day, and they may be someplace else the next, again, depending on pressure and hunting pressure and things like that. But there's going to be opportunities, especially as you look across the landscape, stock ponds and things like that, and lots of places for duck to hide because there is water everywhere. It just depends on whether that water's up into the food resources or utilizing those water bodies just for loafing, which oftentimes will meet many of their needs. So, but
all right. Yeah, John, with all that water, you guys got any pigs?
Who doesn't have pigs might be a better question. I was most of the day in the field yesterday, and you can just drive around with one eye if you're safe enough, and they're just pig damage everywhere. I mean, we've got plenty of pigs, so.
Well, talking about pigs and those black-looking critters, there was a release that we mentioned on last week's show. I want to bring it up again. In the northern part of your district, there continues to be an infiltration of young, maybe boar, black bear coming out of Oklahoma and Arkansas. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So we'll just say this summer, we've had what we call four confirmed class one sightings here in the district, or in my neighboring district in District 6, the Piney Woods. but all right on that border and the northern part of the district. And so it's interesting because we haven't had any confirmed, you know, class one since 2011. And so maybe that was drought related. We don't know. But yes, we've had some, you know, some bears in the area. They're there. We've got some really great pictures of them. We've met with the landowner, received really good tracks, and so there's something going on. We don't necessarily have the answer, but it sure makes life interesting for us anyway.
Well, we stress safety from a hunter standpoint, but also safety and identifying your target. And
don't shoot the bear,
right?
Right, yeah, the bears are absolutely protected. We obviously encourage everybody to shoot every hog they get a chance,
yeah.
But something black moving through the early morning light or late evening, you know, guys surely want to look twice and make sure it's not a young boar bear out there instead of that big hulk.
All right, we just got a few seconds left. Final question, mass crop and Harold's favorite game, squirrels.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, squirrel hunting is still quite popular. Much of it, you know, by non-resident hunters coming into different parts of the district to hunt, especially on some of our public lands. But the mass crop, I think, is very similar to last year, which makes it very good. And so it's going to make it tough for a guy to sit around his feeder maybe for this first part of the season because there's so much food resources from forbs and acorn. So we're in great shape. You know, it's going to be a great fall.
Awesome. All right, listen, we're out of time. We appreciate the update. Our second guest today, John Slavosky, Texas Parks and Wildlife District leader from Tyler. John, we do appreciate you.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great fall.
Thank you, John. We'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
You get 12 people around a table, and you'll have 24 opinions. That's just the way folks are. We've each got our favorite parks, favorite bars, favorite barbecues, and we're not exactly shy when it comes to our opinions. However, this year, the Texas Auto Writers Association got together at the Texas Truck Rodeo and agreed on not one thing, but several things. The Jeep Grand Cherokee Summit 4x4 is the midsize luxury sport utility of Texas. The Cherokee Trailhawk is the compact SUV of Texas. The Renegade Trailhawk is the compact crossover utility vehicle of Texas. And the Wrangler Unlimited Rubicon Hard Rock is the off-road utility vehicle of Texas. It should be no surprise that all it would take was a few Jeep brand vehicles to impress a table full of Texas auto riders. See the most awarded SUV lineup in Texas at your local Jeep dealer. The Jeep brand lineup has received more awards over its lifetime than any other competitive SUV lineup. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the US. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the Outdoor Calendar on Texas Outdoor News. What's coming up?
Okay, get your pens ready, friends. I'm going to take a deep breath and run down this list of banquets. Aggieland Chapter of Ducks Unlimited fundraiser on the 10th of November, College Station. Info 512-738-7049. Also on the 10th, Victoria Chapter of Ducks Unlimited fundraiser in Victoria, 361-652-5444. On the 11th, Brazoria County Chapter of Ducks Unlimited at Lake Jackson, 979-665-8007. On the 12th, Sweetwater Chapter of Ducks Unlimited, Roscoe, 325-428-8024. And go to one of those great banquets, bring your credit card, and go in your new Ford truck.
Folks, here's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. When I bought my new Ford truck, I also kept my old one that's still running great with over 385,000 miles. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. It is no wonder Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 39 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. Ford trucks have once again been voted the truck line of Texas by the Texas Auto Writers Association. Roomy, stylish, great attention to detail with a variety of power options are all reasons Ford F-Series continues to set the standard by which all others are compared. So do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
Then take that truck over to Carter's Country. Load up again. 6 months free financing right now. See the stores for all the details. But here's a rifle I truly love. The Ruger Mini 14 Tactical with a collapsible folding stock, 20-round magazine, and .223. But it functions like an M14 or an M1. Really a wonderful firearm. $868.97. Remember those terms. And slap a nice scope on top of the thing if you want to. The Zeiss Terra, still a fantastic value. 3-9, 50mm, only $289.97. Also a great value from Savage, their Axis 2XP combo with their new AccuTrigger comes with a bore-sided 3-9 scope on it and 270 or 308, only $419.97. Just absolutely fantastic. And they're doing giveaways on optics, and they're doing drawings for hunts in South Texas and Colorado bull elk hunts. Check this all out at your Carter's location near you. There are four of them in the greater Houston area. Carter's Country, straight shooting since 1961.
Hey, brought Harold a care package.
And I want to thank you. I got the jerky, the Slim Jim types, the fudge. Who's that from?
That's from Ken's Cowboy Beef Jerky. And go to their website, kenscowboybeefjerky.net, not .com, .net, yeah. And take a look at their lineup and then call them. So mm-hmm. You get 10% off. And that phone number is 281-277-4368.
What's the number?
281-277-4368.
Hey, you brought me turkey jerky, too. I see that. That's good stuff. I can't wait to start masticating, friends. Anyway, do remember our website, TexasOutdoorNews.com. You can check our wonderful affiliate stations. You can play the show there. Just click on Listen to Our Show, all right? Remember, we're brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Be safe out there, especially during hunting seasons. We want you back listening to us next week, Texas Outdoor News.